Turkish are one way. Persians, Iranians are another way. Iraqis are yet another way. Southern Arabian Peninsula is yet another way. Let me give you another issue, a burning issue in form and substance, to show you that this is such an all-embracing concept that we don't give thought to. I am reading from, or I have in front of me, the work of this gentleman whose picture I show you, Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who was, in popular parlance, the Rav Moshe Feinstein of Europe until he passed on. Those of you who have read anything by Eliezer Berkowitz, the philosopher, formerly of Chicago, now in Yerushalayim, should know that Berkowitz was one of his top Talmidim. But he is known in popular parlance as the Rav Moshe Feinstein of Europe until he passed on. Rav Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg. This is a monograph of his.
Oh, it is.
This is his. Rav Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg is known as a Sri Deish. Four volumes that were published of his Shalos and Tshuvos. He survived the war. He was in Switzerland. And the following question was asked of him right after the war. Came from France. In France, as in Germany, pre-World War II, there was a youth group that started in the days of Rav Shamsham Raphael Hirsch called the Yeshurun Youth Group. To crystallize what Yeshurun did, it's probably the NCSY and the Bnei Akiva of today. But the Bnei Akiva without the Zionism. It was, without question, a youth-oriented program to strengthen Yiddishkeit among kids. The modus operandi was to bring them together in groups. And once they're together in groups, we will learn with them, we will sing, we'll spend Shabbos together, Shabbatonim together, Shalashudas together, Shiurim, social interaction, and the rest we'll let fate take its course. And this is the way we will build. Shamsham Raphael Hirsch had started these youth groups, had a tremendous effect, and the tradition continued all the way down to post-World War II in France and Germany. After the war, Polish Jewry, surviving, was able to leave to go to one of three places. After liberation, you either went to Eretz Yisrael, you either went to America, or you migrated westward to Poland, from Poland, westward to Western Europe. Yeah, all right, some went to Russia and remained there, some few went there and remained in Russia. But generally those who went to free countries in the Western world went to these three places. So you have a whole Polish, also Russian-Hungarian influx into Western Europe, into England and France. Yeshurun came under attack. The attack was simple. How can you take boys and girls and sit them down together, they sing Zmiris, and they study together and call yourself Frum? Can't do that. Now, no one ever doubted this until the Shiloh was asked, post-World War II, because everyone knew Yeshurun was Frum. What's there to talk about? If you were from kid, you had to belong to Yeshurun. It was a sine qua non. They asked the Shiloh of Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, who was respected not only as a luminary of the Torim Derech Eretz of the Shamsham Raphael Hirsch School, he did have a doctorate, and at the same time was considered, as I say, the Rav Moshe Feinstein of Europe, no slouch whatsoever. in the same category as a posek hador as to how to deal with this. The reason that they had to write the Shaila is because the fights were incessant. People were killing themselves over this. We just came out of the war. We're trying to breathe once again. We got ourselves a machlokas on our hands. It's a long tshuva. He analyzes whether boys and girls can sing together. Is there an issue of kolisha when you sing? There are other issues in halacha. But that's not the impact or the import of his tshuva. Because if you want to learn the halacha, you can learn it elsewhere. He doesn't give any stellar chidushin when it comes to that. Here is the impact of his statement, of his tshuva. He says, I was asked by Yeshurun to address this problem, because after all they've been under attack. And I want you to understand that this Yeshurun started al yedei gedolei Ashkenaz, by the gedolim of Germany, shehayu tzadikim gedolim, who without question the greatest tzadikim that you can find, and whatever they did, kol kavanatam mayetal l'shem shemayim, there was absolutely nothing but shem shemayim in anything that they did. And lahatzilas hanoar, in order to save the youth misakanat hatmiyah, from assimilation, sheyisvashta ba'ashkenaz v'yemehem, that was rampant in Germany in those days, they went ahead and formed the Yeshurun v'al yedei kachem, without question hitzilu kama nafshos mi'Yisrael. This was a life-saving effort, v'hitzlichu lekarvam l'torah v'yirashamayim, and as a result of Yeshurun they were able to channel the efforts of these kids in the direction, the minds of these kids, to Torah and yirashamayim. And u'gidolei Ashkenaz, and I want to tell you clearly that the German gedolim hayu b'ki'im u'mumchim were totally au courant and expert in chokhmas hachinuch, in the wisdom of education, in the knowledge of educational processes. And because of that, lachein hitzlichu b'maaseihem, they were successful in what they did, lahakim dorot shlemim shel ba'alei yirashamayim, to go ahead and take and establish entire generations of yirei shamayim from these children. And at the same time, they had haskala chilonit ke'echad. They went ahead and they had secular education at the same time. And their secular education, along with the yiras shamayim, was a direct result of what? Of the educational astuteness, the understanding of the philosophy of education that gedolei Ashkenaz had, that Germans had. In other words, Shamshon Rafoi Hirsch and his followers. Now get this. You'll ask me, well, what about Lithuania and Poland? Says the Sridayesh, Mashelo Allah biyadei ga'onei gedolei lita u'Poland. You had the Chofetz Chaim in Lithuania, you had the Or HaShulchan in Lithuania, you had the Chassam Sofer elsewhere, all the thousands of Chassidish luminaries and Kedoshim, they did not succeed. Lo Allah biyadeihem shel ga'onei gedolei lita u'Poland. Lefi shelo yadu, because gedolim they were, tzaddikim they were, chassidim they were, but they didn't know how lekonen et hachinuch, to establish the chinuch al pi tenei hazman, in the form that was demanded by the generation. V'yadu amasha siper agon mareinu harav Rabbi Yisrael Salanta zatzal, and remember what Rabbi Yisrael Salanta once told, that he visited. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta lived in Lithuania. And he visited Ashkenaz when he developed the Musar movement. He went to Germany to see, to propagate his thinking. Bishuvome Ashkenaz, he came back from Germany to Lithuania. But in Germany, Sham Nizdamein in Hagorna Tzadik Abizril Hildesheimer, he met one of the heirs of Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, who was the Hildesheimer, Abizril Hildesheimer, and he met him in Berlin, in Germany. V'ra'a oto, after having seen Rabbi Sriel Hildesheimer with his own two eyes, Rabbi Sol Salanta saw it, marze shiurim b'tanach v'shulchan aruch, giving shiurim, lecturing to women on Tanakh and Shulchan Aruch lifnei nashim tzirot u'betulot, before women and before girls. You know what it means, sir, Rabbi Yisrael Hildesheimer? Do you know what Rabbi Yisrael Hildesheimer is? Do you have any idea? Do you know what a Shamshon Raphael Hirsch is?
Yeah.
It's the same cloth. Do you know what a Chassam Sofer is? That's the same cloth. Do you know what a Chofetz Chaim is? That's the same cloth. Do you know what kind of a Medayik Rabbi Yisrael Hildesheimer was with Shmiras HaLashon? A Tzadik Yisod Olam? Yes, he had a doctorate also. The Chofetz Chaim didn't. And this is what Rabbi Yisrael Salanter saw, the Ko Amar, returning, this is what he said. Im yavo mimi rabbanei lita lahanhig heim ba'adato, if a Lithuanian Rav came to do this in his Lithuanian kehila, is vadai she'yaviru osa mikunatel, they'll run him out and tar and feather him. V'chein hadin, and when you're in Lithuania, that's what the din is. Mikol makom, even so, says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, and this is a quote, halavai she'yehei chelki began Eden, im hagon hatzadik rabbi Yisrael Hildesheimer. If I will take my choice in Gan Eden to sit and learn at the table in the Beis Medrash together with the Lithuanian tzaddikim among whom I function, or with Rabbi Yisrael Hildesheimer, whom I saw saying shiurim to the women and to the girls in Shulchan Aruch, who want to sit with Rabbi Yisrael Hildesheimer. V'atam hu, and the reason is mishum eis la'asos l'shem heferu torasecha. There are times when you have to do for God. You have to overturn the Torah. What do you mean to do and overturn the Torah? Gentlemen, it's nothing more than substance and form. That's all it is. Go ahead and eis la'asos l'Hashem, and you try to captivate the mind and the attention of someone who is playing footsies with Greek philosophy or secularist philosophy, which is a superior way of life, or Torah, then you know what you do. You present it in such a palatable form that you'll be able to understand, or get the person to understand, that these are not two mutually exclusive faith systems, and that the emes can be distilled from the sheker to bolster, lahavdil, your derech haTorah. That's exactly what the Rambam did. Now do you understand why the Rambam was burned and tarred and feathered? Now do you understand why Dr. Belkin was buried alive long before he should have died? Because he tried to perpetuate a kind of system of form and substance, Torah and Mada. Now whether it succeeded or not is a different story.
So that's why YU is like off limits, like it's the... You know, you're just not religious enough, you're not...
What did Rabbi Yisrael Salanter say? If you are a Lithuanian or if you are a Polak and you want to do that in Lithuania or in Poland, you deserve to be tarred and feathered. Elama, it was done in Washington Heights before Breuer came. Long before Breuer came.
But also those who attacked the Rambam seem to have a mistaken notion from the beginning that there are, so to speak, two systems of thought.
That's
in the sense that, and I'm really just paraphrasing the Rambam here, and I'm sure you'll agree that it's correct. God created the world. It is our objective as Jews to come to know God, and in coming to know Him, to love Him. And in order to know God, if you know His creations in detail, presumably that should bring you closer to a love of God. So if you become a nuclear physicist, presumably this might be a derech, a way of coming to know the universe a little better than you might, just sitting on Passaic Avenue and selling cigars, so let's say. And so... It seems to me that, we read it in Ralph Cook that there's just one thing. There's the universe and there's the knowledge of the universe. And they want to cut it in half and say there's Greek philosophy and there's science and there's physics and there's Yiddishkeit. And it doesn't make any sense.
That's it. doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
It's a misreading of the Rambam. And certainly this is the Chiddush of Rav Kook, and that's why this lofty idea, this romantic idea, this romance with all of human knowledge was something that just completely offended the others, the other Gedolim and Chachomim in his day, because, Rav, you're flirting with that mechitza. You're looking at the other side and you're saying how beautiful it is, when you should be saying it's schmutz and don't look over the mechitza.
But still they have a point. The other side.
Where do you know more than ever before that they have a valid point, if not from this Rabbi Yisrael Salanta? Okay? In Lithuania, he said, if you came and pulled that shtick with that form, with the substance of Torah, you deserve to have what?
Be
tarred and feathered. Now, do you understand what's going on here? I'm giving my heksher only to a YU situation? Nonsense. The whole thing that we have between the yeshiva world, what is commonly called the black hat yeshiva world, Rab Aaron Zatzal and Lakewood, and everything that stands in that camp, and on the other hand, the YU and the Turo kind of a situation, is nothing more than what? Lita and Poland on the one hand, and Ashkenaz Germany on the other hand, that has been transplanted over here on this soil. Simple as that. But to call one Schmutz and the other one Kedusha is don't go that far. To call one Schmutz and the other one Kedusha is a misreading of what is really going on here, unless you can prove that one is truly schmutz.
I think the problem is that it's much more difficult to be a Rambam or a Rav Yechiel Weinberg or a Rav Hildesheimer,
no question,
and to stay from and not to go off the deep end.
Any bridge figure is a tragic figure. You know how tragic the George Washington Bridge is. One leg is in New York, the other leg is in New Jersey, right? And it can get caught by the seat of its pants if a freighter comes and is a little too tall. You know what happens. Anyone who's a bridge figure is tragic. Yes?
The strange thing is, it seems like Lakewood and Jones YU both flourish.
That's not strange. Baruch Hashem. If one were to flourish over the other, then Rabbi Yisrael Salanta would have said one is MS and the other one is but he didn't say that. He said in Gan Eden, when all truth comes to the fore and all sheker will wither, at whose table did he want to sit? So he's given Rabbi Yisrael Salanta of Lithuania, of Lita, Tzadik V'Kadosh that he was, the Baal Musa that he was, who would never stand up to any sheker or any kind of self-deception. That was his Musa. Analyzed the situation and saw that these two systems are purveyors of emes, depending on the form that was necessary. And the form was dictated by sociology. They're two different personalities.
The same sociology, they don't flourish.
No question. No question. Because if that sociology weren't valid, one would have withered and finished. One would have withered.
Isn't it true that if the people in at least one of the two different schools of thought, if you say, don't really see it as we see it, that we just described as form versus substance? They don't see it. The difference is the people in Camp A look at Camp B and they say, this is not a form and substance problem. Just merely a form and substance problem. It goes far beyond that.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. If I wanted to do a major paper in sociology, I would do the form and substance that differentiate Satmar and Lubavitch. Okay? I don't believe that it's substance that differentiates them. There is a mentality of form that differentiates them. Okay? They won't buy it. Because after all, if you don't give me a unique substance, a unique essence, then what am I? If I don't spit on the other one, then I cannot maintain my integrity.
It isn't two questions. One is, are you saying that what the Rambam presents is merely, you know, it's like Torah in a different dress? That it doesn't really affect what he's saying, it's like in a different clothing? You know, it's like sometimes, you know, sometimes I wear shirt and tie, sometimes I wear...
Rav Kook would be horrified at your qualifier called merely. Rav Kook tells you that this Rambam understood b'kiddusha v'tahara, the nature of the problem, and spoke only emes, and picked the right dress to be able to save a generation and generations thereafter. That if he didn't take that one dress, that cloak, out of the wardrobe, then chas v'shalom, what would have been?
But what I was saying, doesn't the Rambam also use, in other words, doesn't he use Greek philosophy to decide what is emes in Torah? I mean, when he talks about God not having a body, isn't that based on a philosophic foundation? So now he's saying the Torah has to mean this because anything else would be philosophically trained?
No. If he employs Greek philosophy and its principles, call it the equations, its modes of logic, it is because those modes of logic can be identical to the modes of logic, lahavdil, of Chochmah Elokis. It's not a matter of proving that X is true because Greek philosophy says it. It's a matter of arriving at the absolute truth through the equations and channeling it through the program and the vocabulary of Greek philosophy, and also at the same time to show you that it is not in contradistinction to the Chochmah Elokis. All right? Go ahead.
Isn't what Bruce was asking, sort of thing today? You know, you're saying that there's the two different sociologies of reform and substance, but sort of carry saying it a little further. Isn't there one sociology which sees this not in those terms, but more in the terms that one is true and one is schmutz? Isn't that like the implication of...
You're trying to say that Lakewood would call Rabbi Wasserman a bad sociologist? I think that's what you're trying to say.
No, I don't think...
But I left YU because I needed a Rebbe, not a professor. That was my faith crisis at 18. I needed a Rebbe. I needed Lita. The Lita. You understand? But at the same time, I made sure to get all the Rambam that I was able to get. I hear what you're saying. Amnam says, Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, mevin ani l'ruach tzas ha-charedim. I understand some of those frumings. Shemeranenim neged yeshurim, who are criticizing and besmirching yeshurim. I understand that. It's a sociological problem. Shehem ro'im b'min hagav, they see in the way yeshurim is conducted, stiyam min ha-minhagim, they see this as a derailment of the way life was in Poland and Hungary. But what I also see, and although I understand that, I also see, but they're closing their eyes to the realities in France post-war, as it is. The old class of Jew, ein shum hashfa'a al michutz al ma'alach ha'chayim. You have absolutely no influence on the direction of life if you're an old-timer. Why? Because hei merukazim betol chugam, they are concentrated in their circle, ha-metzumtzam, which is infinitesimally small, ve'inam samim et libam, and have absolutely no concern whatsoever le'tahalich ha'itbolelut, to the assimilation process, ha'oseh shamot, that is creating holocausts bekerev hacharedim in their own camps. Just wait, time will show. They don't see it. Af hacharedim sholchim b'neihem u'b'noseihem le'beis sefer nochriim, to the extent that Hasidisha are now sending their children to Goyish schools. Ve'ein lahem shum aruva sheyeh b'kocham la'amod neged hazerem. And there is no guarantee that they can get their kids to be able to stay in check, and that the old timers from Hungary and Poland in France will be able to stand against this zerem hashotet v'hamechaleh, this destructive and pernicious tendency. Hein botchim ba'atzmam, they have faith in their internal strength. Ve'inam da'agim da'agat machar, and therefore don't have to worry about tomorrow. La'atidam hadati shal yaldehem, to worry about their children and their grandchildren. And Yeshurun was the one that did worry, and did reverse the situation.
He's saying that these Frum Jews, the Hasidim who came from East Europe,
Poland,
in France,
yeah.
were sending their kids to secular schools?
There were no yeshivas. If you wanted to get any kind of education, you have to send them to public school, and then you did a supplemental kind of a thing. Now, I don't know what the law exactly is in France right after the war, whether there was compulsory education and you had to send the children.
You mean they weren't in a position to set up yeshivas, and there was they had no money?
That's for sure. The first thing you got to do with your children is educate them. And the same thing that we did in America till after World War II, when the Torah Masorah concept took on.
So what actually happened?
He predicted it! That the payas started to come off, and the strength, the inner strength and glory, the glow of Poland and Lithuania and Hungary wore off in one generation. Without question, that's for sure. My father had two sisters who remained in Europe. He and another sister and his parents came after World War I. The two sisters somehow remained there, and they married. And from Poland, they went to Paris. Two families that were totally assimilated. And by the second generation, there was nothing left. Absolutely nothing left. Third generation? Can't even communicate with them. I have first cousins, can't even believe what went on. It happens. I'm not going to go ahead and extrapolate for my family only, but it happened to all the families. You jettison the one thing that you had that protected you, and that was the ghetto walls. The most protective shell that we ever had to be able to perpetuate ourselves. That was the modus operandi in Litva, in Poland, in Hungary, in Russia. That was it. And when Napoleon Bonaparte wanted to break down all ghetto walls, which he ultimately did, there was a faith crisis that Lubavitcher Chassidim had, because they were on the border, the Russian border, where Napoleon was coming in, and they were clearing the Shaila. They wanted to know, when Chassidim came, do we support Napoleon, or do we support the Tsar? The Tsar is killing us. Will Napoleon and his democracy be any better? And the Balatanya went ahead and said, you support the Tsar, because Napoleon wants to break down the walls of the ghetto.
This is the exact argument that this, as we said, the two separate communities had. The one community continues to say, this is the exact reason we have to keep the ghetto mentality and the ghetto walls, etc., etc., etc.
You may presumptuously sit here for me to answer all your problems in life. And I come to tell you, I do nothing else but formulate the problems. And what I have done was to formulate a problem that existed in the 13th century with the Rambam, that took 100 years to resolve, that Rav Kook picked up as a rekindling of the Machlokes in Yavetz, and that we are living through ourselves. If there is any piece of Rambam or Rav Kook that we can identify with, it's this.
But if a Jew cannot function in this world without a physical wall around him, then how much can we say for the strength and glory of the Torah? Whereas, if you take a Rambam or a Rav Yechiel Weinberger who wants it internalized, so that you can walk among the nations of the world carrying the glory of the Torah in your actions and in
your
speech,
that works for you, and I agree. It also works for people in Lakewood Square and Borough Park that have never been out of there. And they're flourishing.
And they're flourishing. But if they cannot walk among the peoples of the world with kavod and dignity, so that goyim will respect them in their actions, this is a chilul Hashem.
No, maybe it's not a sociological question because you're putting the same. You're saying it's not a problem of substance and form. You're saying one is true, the other is not. You look at what happened with the Satmi community surviving in the United States. The Satmi community survived because they, kept themselves and developed, they developed communal things. I mean, up until that point, there wasn't a strong, many things that wasn't a strong and orthodox form kind is what they developed. The Satmar Rav did to keep the community together, and he changed it what he thought he needed, but he also tried to keep it a strong internal group, and it works. I mean, it's a thriving community. You can't say it's not a thriving community.
There's one among us whose tongue has been very quiet, but his eyes seemingly are jumping with cognition. You haven't said a word, Doctor. What's true? Only that you haven't said a word.
The point is that, and Jerry actually said what I wanted to say indirectly, which is that Rob followed it up, that both sides don't tolerate each other. That it isn't, as Bruce is trying to say, that one side is looking and saying, well, you're schmutz, and we, of course, think that everything's okay, but it's really that both sides don't tolerate each other. And yet, as Rob says, they both flourish because they coexist, but they don't exist together. And that seems to be the way it was historically.
And Rabbi Sol Salanta, I think, gives us the clue that historically they cannot flourish as a synthesis of two, and you'll just have to pick one or the other. Whereupon I say that Baruch Hashem, in America and in Eretz Yisrael, these hard lines of division, Litvakis and Galiciana, Hungarians as opposed to Yekis and so on, are Baruch Hashem starting to blend and to kind of meld. Not such a big deal that a Yeki marries a Lubavitcher Chosid. It's a Lubavitcher Chosid who gives Breuers all of its kashrus credibility. A Lubavitcher Chosid.
That's
unheard of a generation ago.
That's a lot because of the Baalei Tshuva, and people want to leave the history.
No question.
I listened in amazement, Hungarian and Polish, and how the one speak to the other. I found that part of my family, my father, who was born here, comes from Hungary.
No wonder you are the way you are now.
I never knew why. He never spoke about it. And just because times are freer now, and he talks about maybe going back to Hungary and maybe looking to some land they may have had. But it never was mentioned in my family, and I don't know about this Machlokas Gedolim. And maybe there's a lot of people who don't know, and so we're taking each other as Jews rather than, gee, you're a Hungarian, how can I speak to you? That's actually a question I have, Rabbi, which is that you have these two sides that seem to coexist but not exist together. How do you end up with Auschwitz in the long forever?
What do we need Achdus for? What do we need you for?
Call yourself a Raven Karen.
I'm not cynical now, but I think we need Achdus to be able to solve the problems that we cannot do as individual communities or substructures within the community. A response to a Hitler needs Achdus. A response to a devastation like we have in America of 5 million Jews assimilating needs Achdus. And believe it or not, the so-called, what you call the Baal Tshuva, or the Keruv Rechokim movement, is today on the agenda of anyone and everyone. I began with the Baal Tshuva movement, it's going to be 30 years now, when Rashi Yeshiva and Tells asked me in the Lithuanian Yiddish, tell us what you do. It was the Bolzovsky's asal. He wanted me to show him my svarim. He wanted me to show him my record of shiurim that I say, and I could not in any way interpret to him that it has nothing to do with shiurim, that it is an affective kind of ensnarement of the soul, totally, that I do. So that here I will be dressed in a Hamburg and say shiurim, and then right after Havdalah, I will sit down at a piano and get the kids going for an hour and a half on Hamavdil ben Kodesh Lachol. Now, a Rosh Hashiva doesn't do that. A rabbi doesn't do that. Some kind of entertainer does that. But there were no entertainers then. There was no Ruach, and there was no Neshama, and there was no Neshama too, and nothing. Absolutely nothing. It didn't exist. Now, Lubavitch at that time was the only one who did it. So everyone looked at Lubavitch and said, well, that's their shtick. You know? They have to shore up their numbers of Hasidim, so they go out, Yafutsum, you know Lubavitch, until everyone becomes a Lubavitch, and they're not going to be satisfied. So they pick on the most vulnerable segment of communities. And that is the cult type of things, and the college students, you know, the ones who aren't too discerning. But you know, we know Lubavitch shtick. Agudas Yisrael, if you said the words Keruv Rechokim for a period of 20 years, you know what they would say to you? Get out of here with your Mishigasim. Down the street, go. That's Young Israel shtick. That's Orthodox Union, OU shtick. We're yeshivas. We have to create yeshivas. Moetzes Gedolei Torah. Take a look at the last three conventions of Agudas Yisrael. What the most prominent feature is. Keruv Rechokim. They have one of the most intelligent segments is their Jewish education program. Keruv Rechokim, like everyone, bells. Offered someone I know $25,000 to start a Baal Tshuva yeshiva in Bells in Yerushalayim. Yeah? Because the yeshiva will not be complete unless they can go out in America and raise money, a la Lubavitch and the others, with the highest Madison Avenue credentials on Keruv Rechokim. Because it's a national problem, it's a Holocaust. National, international problem, we're going through a Holocaust. So everyone is responding in a unified fashion. In Eretz Yisrael, there's an international problem, everyone's responding. Either I'm for or against you. Okay? But what happens, Chas V'Shalom, when Jewish blood starts to flow? You hear all of a sudden the politics starts to wane?
When Jewish blood starts to flow in
over there, when there's a war.
In Israel.
Where?
When Jewish blood starts to flow in on the borders of Israel, what happens with all of our divisions, all of our camps? Did you ever hear anyone, when a war starts, the Yom Kippur War or whatever, did you ever hear, Ko Amar Hashem, Hashem predicted it, and it's in Yirmiyahu, Perek Beis, Posukov Gimel, you boys will bleed. Did you ever hear such things? No. You know when you hear it? When it's still, when it's quiet. Does it say something? I don't know what it says. I'm only asking the question. I'm of the opinion that the more camps we can create, probably the better off we are. I'll tell you why. It's simplistic. It is the shopping mall mentality. I want to be able to go in and shop and choose from 17 different pairs of shoes and reject all of them and pick the 18. All 17 are made by the same company. And there's nothing more than the tooling that's different. As long as I have a right to choose, and you give me the opportunity to choose, I'll choose the one that I want. You know what happens when you're able to choose? So far we haven't been dissipating our energies. We've only had more yeshivas, and if you don't like this one, so at least you go to West Caldwell for another one. West Caldwell's not good enough for you, so you go to Teaneck. Teaneck's not good enough for you, you need a prep school, so you go to Englewood. You know, Marlin Bakodesh. We're going, right? Englewood is still not good. You've got to go to the original prep school, so you go to East 85th Street and Park Avenue over there, right? Somehow we don't lose that way. We don't lose this way. The only time we'll lose if we with duplicity and dissipation of energies. That's the only time. In Yerushalayim, the situation is the same. A kid comes to Yerushalayim, and he doesn't like a yeshiva. You know what he does? Picks up and he goes down the street. Doesn't like that? Picks up and goes down the street. Guess what happens? The whole year he's been learning in yeshiva. The whole year he's been learning yeshiva. He came running away from home. This is the first time he doesn't have his mama nudging him or picking up his socks or telling him to change his filthy underwear. Okay? In the hope that a Rebbe will be a role model and the sociological structure, his chevreshaft, his chabura over there, will be socially enhancing to him. Doesn't like it, goes down the street. They have an agreement among themselves that they transfer the files, that it's not competition. They automatically transfer the files and they'll shift the funds. Let the kids stay in Yerushalayim.
There's not competition.
It's competition. But it is definitely competition for the buck and for success. The only thing is that on this issue we will not go ahead and fight. That if one of my kids goes to your yeshiva, here's the file, Gesundheit. But you know, if there's anyone there in your yeshiva that I can get out of yours, mm-hmm. I'm going to do it also. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? Because we're all doing it. Ultimately, who succeeds? This creation of the new society in Yerushalayim, which is a kibbutz goliath of youth. Lisa Rosman, one of our kids, came back. She said, I never saw anything like that in my life. I saw hundreds of kids. Hundreds of us. Mm-hmm. Everyone down the street, you knew. I walked into the East Side today to a man that I only do business with in one way, doesn't know how many kids I have or if I have kids, and he tells me, I hear that your son was in Yerushalayim. How do I know? Because my son spoke to him when the general... No one loses, you see. Because there's room for another 10,000 yeshivas as long as we don't become cutthroat. Again, I tell you, for me, you're not getting answers. I am full of questions. My middle initials are QN, question mark. That's all. I have no answers yet. That's why I asked you to talk, because from you I expect answers. I can pitch the questions. I need answers from you. But this is it. There's no question that we have to start looking at our lives and our values, I think, in the issue of form and substance. That's all. Are we a Torah Yidden? There's no question about we're Torah Yidden, whether it's Baruch Atah or Buri Chato. Davening is the issue. And that's it.